Maybe.
Yo, what's happening, everybody? It's the QB List Podcast, week 7 just about in the book. So Brian and Nick are here to break down the madness and talk some week 8 waiver wire. Nick, how you doing today?
Doing fantastic, man. Always good to see you. Another great week of football and happy to talk through it all. And congrats to Mario. Pretty sure he has officially become a man this week, so we're excited to have him back next week.
Absolutely. He just tied Aaron Rodgers for the same amount of rings. It's pretty cool to see. But yeah, we're here to go through the injury roundup. We're here to talk some boom, some bust, waiver wires, and if anybody can afford to make a trade going into this bipocalypse, we might see if we can chat about some of that. Let's start with some injuries, though. And if my heart did not drop when you saw Jaden Daniels grab the back of his leg.
Yeah, that was ugly. Didn't look good.
Yeah, looking at 2 to 3 weeks, potentially. If anybody is to go down, it's kind of nice knowing that, hey, Marcus Mariota is a pretty decent plug-in for you. He can get you about 80% of a Jaden Daniels week.
Yeah, he has been. He's gotten a lot of QB1 weeks, I think 4 out of 5 or something like that over the last 2 years in this offense. But a little sketchy. The offense looks completely different without McLaurin, without Deebo Samuel. So kind of monitor those guys. I don't have nearly as high of hopes without them, so something to keep an eye on this week.
Yeah, we're over here rooting for Chris Moore and like Jalen Lane and Luke McCaffrey.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's not pretty. Speaking of not pretty, Bryce Young. Not only was the game bad, but the high ankle sprain looks like he's going to be out for a little bit of time. I don't really think that it changes much for this offense, though. You know, we're going to have the Red Rifle coming out here. Andy Dalton will be filling in. We've seen him do a decent job. So if anything, Tet might have a safer floor going forward.
Yeah, I was going to say the same exact thing. Usually when these backup veteran quarterbacks come in, you kind of get that 2 week boost of all of your players actually succeeding, and then there's film on them and the defenses kind of react to that, and then they're terrible again. But typically the first 1 to 2 weeks is kind of a dream setup for a lot of these wide receivers.
Yeah, they'll get you what they need to. They'll fill in as a backup, and then you realize, oh, yeah, you're still a backup. That's why.
This is why you've been a backup. Yeah.
But Bryce Young, a good benching is all he usually needs to get his head back into the game. Mm-hmm. So hopefully he does when he returns. Justin Fields, is this an injury we've got here? I saw him get pulled.
I think so. Yeah, we have pride listed on the injury report here because this is just embarrassing. In his defense, who's he throwing to? This is kind of the same situation that we were talking about with Washington, but it is not pretty. For this year, for redraft, I did have some Justin Fields, but for Dynasty, I've been out. There was no way I was seeing him as the starting quarterback of this team next year. And as of right now, they look destined to take a quarterback in the first round, should have one of those top 5 picks and probably some decent options looking like.
Do the Jets get a win this year? That's, I think, a big question on people's mind. They play Cincy this week, so doable. Cleveland, New England, Baltimore, Atlanta, Miami's in week 14, and then Jacksonville, New Orleans in 16. I got like 2-3 chances left.
Yeah, that New Orleans game could be awesome for just seeing who is kind of – there's always like that competing for the number one pick at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Seeing which team and which players are actually out there and trying to get the win, but – yeah, that'll be an exciting one. I hope they don't, as a Patriots fan.
If anything, their best chance might be week 18 against Buffalo when Buffalo's sitting everybody. That might be the only shot they actually have at taking a win. Jets, it's not looking good. And Aaron Klein, I want a little apology, buddy. I thought it was so crazy to be considering benching Justin Fields. Is that what you said last week? Sauce Gardner in the concussion protocol. It's good just for Cincinnati next week.
Yeah, all your Bengals are getting a little bit of a boost with that.
We had Michael Penix. Come on, dude. He's looking like Goff as far as his home away splits, but ankle injury, he's not a runner. I'm not too concerned with it.
Yeah, the crowd is calling for Kirk Cousins. What do you think?
This is why they should have traded him over the offseason. Yeah. I get it. A stupid high cap hit. It's nice to have a competent backup. But if you want to avoid these conversations, if you want to avoid the haunting that could come into your young quarterback's head, you got to get rid of him. So, do you want to see Kirk?
No, and I don't think they go to him unless he's too injured to actually play, because
Yeah.
for all the exact same reasons that you're saying right there, there's no reason to switch back. This guy is your future. I don't think continuing to bench him is going to help him or motivate him at all.
No.
You know, and the Bryce Young method is not necessarily typically a successful way to coach up your guys, but I don't really want to see him. But yeah, I don't know. He looks great 1 week, looks terrible the next. It's kind of tough. I mean, San Francisco, I just think came in with a different game plan than Buffalo last week, because surprisingly, you know, Sean McDermott's a good coach, but I don't know how Drake London is the only wide receiver to catch a pass and get 16 targets. Like, that just seemed like at halftime there should have been some adjustments, but San Francisco wasn't going to allow that this week, and much different looking game yesterday.
Darren Waller, pretty disappointing game from him. Didn't even register a point before he left the game. It was a pec strain due to these tight ends playing a little bit of defense there, or defense. They're doing a little bit of blocking there. They usually are held out for a bit just so they don't re-aggravate that. So even if he
Not
misses, it's like this offense
a
is.
tear though.
Not a tear. Good.
Originally defined as a tear, so probably just going to be a couple weeks here.
Yeah, which I mean, at this point, we had Tua get benched for Quinnen Ewers. I don't know if Waller's actually missing out on
Who
any points
immediately
there.
fumbled a snap. I mean, not put into a good
God.
situation, but
No,
it
not at
didn't look
all.
good either.
Kendre Miller, man, this one's heartbreaking. Like, you
Yeah, this
finally
is
see him
bad.
healthy, getting some work. Torn ACL is the diagnosis, out for the season. He's going to be going into year four coming off of ACL tear, and Alvin Kamara is probably still going to be on the team.
He'll probably get extended.
Oh, God.
Yeah, dynasty value obviously plummeting. It was kind of slowly on the rise for the first time in his 3 years. We've been really waiting for him to get a full chance. And I mean, we've been hyping him up for a few weeks here, hoping that Kamara got traded and he would be put into that position, but obviously not going to happen now. Name to monitor. I'm not even sure if we have him on the list here, but Devin Neal was rookie pick, I believe, fifth or sixth
Kansas.
round. Yeah, and he would be most likely the next guy up in this situation. So somebody to keep an eye on, who's probably going to step up and see a couple touches here and there, but Kamara should still dominate the backfield.
I was pretty excited for him coming into the draft. I was disappointed when he didn't get much draft capital, and he landed with New Orleans. Just so many running backs on that team. There's some talent there. Maybe not as much as I originally thought, but yeah, definitely a name to monitor.
But there's so many of these guys who were drafted on day three that haven't seen the field yet that everyone was so hyped up for. You know, none of them were misses. They were all exactly the exact guy that the coach was hoping to get. And none of them have just panned out quite yet. But we're less than halfway through year one for a lot of them. So we'll see. Dynasty value for him definitely going up pretty quickly.
Yeah, 100%. Brian Thomas Jr. God, I think there's an
Also
injury, but it
cried.
seems to be between his ears.
It was shoulder, but we put the yips. He just, I don't know, so many consistent drops, and looks like he's sometimes it's the passes, sometimes he just looks like he's scared to get hit. I don't really know. They gotta get him open on the outside or something, because anything across the middle he drops.
Do you think the problem's more Brian Thomas Jr., or do you think it's Trevor Lawrence?
I feel like it's both, because I've definitely seen him. I mean, there was a third and two during this game where he ran a quick slant and hit him in the hands, and then he's out and the drive is over. And then Trevor Lawrence, you know, looks terrible. But then I feel like Lawrence will kind of force the ball into bad positions after that, because I feel like he's just frustrated in those situations. I don't know. It's like you throw a 30-yard pass to Parker Washington, who steps out of bounds on the sideline, and BTJ's got multiple drops every single week. They had four drops as a team this week. Yeah, there was a game last year where they had four touchdown drops, all of them in the receiver's hands. And it's just like, how different does this look if these guys can catch the ball? And I would say Parker Washington has the best hands on the team at this point. He's the only guy who actually comes down with it each time.
He's been killing it. From a prop position, he was 1.5 yards or 1.5 catches this past week, and 17 and a half yards was his over under. So Parker Washington's been he's been a fan of mine, or I've been a
Yeah,
fan of
he's a
his this year.
little PPR stud, and I think he's going to see more and more if these other guys can't hold on to the ball.
Anybody else we have on here? You got Jacoby?
Jacoby and Bowers both expected to be back after the bye week. I just kind of threw that in there.
Yeah, I don't know how much that means because this offense is just atrocious. atrocious.
Yeah, we'll see if it's Geno or Kenny Pickett, but that was a rough loss.
Oh, I forgot that's where Kenny went. He got traded away.
So did I. He was one of the eight quarterbacks that the Browns traded for this offseason, but then he got moved pretty early on.
And one of the two they've already traded away.
Right. Ridiculous, that team.
Ridiculous. All righty, let's get to the excitement. Let's talk about some of the fun. Let's drop some bombs. We got the booms here this week. Here we go. Bo Nix, man. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty. Highest fantasy point performance on the season thus far. 27 for 50, 279, two touchdowns through the air, another 48 rushing, and then two more touchdowns. They pulled it off. It wasn't the best game. Like, this team has regressed immensely on both sides of the ball. Sophomore slump for Bo Nix. But he got it done for you this week.
Yeah, this was the ugliest game. Ugliest first three quarters. My brother was in town. He's a diehard Broncos fan since we were a kid. He was miserable, making everybody else miserable around him for heading into the fourth quarter. And then once that PI was called against Denver, which is kind of a nonsense call down to the 1 yard line for the Giants to score very close to the end. Once again, we were all very upset in the household, but this is the epitome of bad football, good fantasy, because this did not look good. Troy Franklin's touchdown was just bobbled into the air. Could have easily been an interception. There were so many terrible plays. And I don't understand why Sean Payton won't run the ball inside the 5 yard line. If you run the ball four times, you will score a touchdown. But every time they just run this little like run out to the side and Nix throws an almost interception or turnover on downs.
Especially when you got one of the top like five, top eight offensive lines in the league, man. Go play bully ball, dude. You're old school.
I don't understand it. But yeah, for fantasy, you're pumped.
Yeah. I mean, in that same game, we got QB3, Jackson Dart, 283 yards through the air, three passing touchdowns, a rushing touchdown as well. Look, I was nervous for the stint. Philly, Denver's Philly. I had picked him up right before that. I was excited, but to be fair, my biggest worry with Jackson Dart was you cannot scramble. You cannot run on Denver as far as the quarterback position, which he didn't. Only 11 yards rushing, but he found a way to get it done with his tight ends.
Yeah. I put this one on here specifically so you and I could talk about it because we have both avidly been against Jackson Dart and saying, sell him away. The rest of his schedule gets miserable. He's got no Malik Neighbors. Like, truly, the thought process I stand by.
Yeah.
The defenses were really rough. You're obviously losing your by far most talented receiver. Denver shuts down rushing quarterbacks. There's really nothing on paper that made sense for this, but he has proved us wrong twice. So I wanted to be, you know, not just call out our highlights, but he definitely did that. I mean, I will say, I think it was Theo Johnson's touchdown was also equally as nonsense as Troy Franklin's.
Yeah.
It was like an unintentional, hook and ladder basically that turned into like a 40 yard touchdown, but whatever. At the end of the day, none of that matters. It's just all about points.
Yeah, Theo Johnson should finish with more receptions than he had targets because that wasn't a target for him. That was just a catch for him. Crazy stuff. Justin Herbert coming in with 420 passing yards, finished at QB2. We are recording this just before kickoff of the Monday night back-to-back, so some of these might change a bit. Matthew Stafford, though, dropping five tutties there over internationally. That one was fun to watch. And then, of course, Patrick Mahomes. He does what he does.
Yeah, we should throw out Flacco, too. Kind of a lot of the older guys here. Stafford was funny because he had like 110 passing yards and five touchdowns. That number's not correct, but it was 182. Very low.
Yeah.
182, yeah. Flacco, Aaron Rodgers, all these guys up at the top this week. So it's kind of cool to have a little throwback week.
Jalen Hurts at QB8 with negative 10 rushing yards.
Jalen Hurts at QB8 with his two receivers finishing in the top three.
Goodness, absolutely wild. Running backs here, CMC did what he does, 129 yards on the rushing, 72 through the air, two touchdowns. Finally, a good rushing game for CMC.
Yeah, coming into the game with more receiving yards than rushing yards is kind of an impressive stat. I guess with CMC, we don't really care how it gets done, but he definitely looked like himself. It was just chunk gain after chunk game.
George Kittle helps this running game so much. We'll get to him here in a little bit, but there's the splits between when he's out there and when he's not. CMC has so much more success. Jonathan Taylor, another three touchdown game, his third of the season. Look, I know it's my team, so I'm going to try not play favors. Well, right now, you've got Offensive Rookie of the Year, potentially the MVP, and the Comeback Player of the Year. Like, if season ended right now, I think all three of those awards could go to the Colts offense right now.
You could probably talk with Steichen about Coach of the Year at this point as well, because he was probably on the hot seat two months ago. Like, we didn't know what this team was going to do. And, you know, maybe Anthony Richardson truly was the problem.
I'm not. I defer.
I mean,
I'm not.
JT's been injured the last 2 years. This is obviously the first time he's been fully healthy.
Offensive line is playing out of their mind.
Offensive line is like top five right now. I think the offense truly runs around JT or runs through JT. And then once you're able to do some play action there, and JT is also averaging over three receptions a game and like an extra 25 receiving yards. So nobody's eating into his workload, even though they've had some receiving backs in the past. He's kind of adding a little bit, but he is an absolute force right now, and it's really nice to see.
Quinshon Judkins, I mean, call me crazy. I feel like he kind of underperformed as far as the yardage there. Only 84 yards rushing against this Miami defense. Pulled in three touchdowns, though, and when your defense is scoring, it's kind of hard to have those opportunities. But, yeah, finishes RB3 on the week.
Yeah, I think we were expecting him more in the 130-plus yardage.
Yeah, his line was 95.
Early touchdown as well. That was like 45 yards. So we kind of expected this to be.
Yeah, first quarter, he was off to the races, man.
Yeah. But they didn't really need him. I mean, he still had 25 touches. Like you said, it's hard to stay on the field when your defense is scoring all the time. So, I mean, Cleveland had like 25 fantasy points on defense.
I mean, Chicago came in here, had two guys in the top 10. DeAndre Swift, 124 rushing yards on a touchdown. Kyle Manungai, 81 on the ground, 13 through the air with a rushing touchdown as well. This is the identity, I think, that Ben Johnson wanted to establish with the running game to really let Caleb cook. And the result was the passing game didn't do a whole lot.
Yeah, and credit to the Saints for being the Saints and kind of allowing this to happen. What I will say is Swift has looked great the last 2 weeks. Manungai, 10 of his 13 touches came after they already had a 20-0 lead. So something to monitor moving forward. He seems to be the dude over Roschon Johnson, but you look disappointed. But either way, that split is something to keep in mind when you're going out. Some people are probably going to spend a lot of money on him thinking that this is a 50-50 split, but this is still Swift's backfield until we start to see those more relevant first quarter, second quarter touches when they're not blowing a team away like they were yesterday.
Yeah, Swift came into this game a little banged up too, so it made sense for them to kind of lighten his load after they had the W established. Javonte Williams, I mean, scored again, 116 yards rushing. This dude's going to get a contract. Like, I think he's played his way into a starting role, with a starting role contract anyway, this offseason.
Yeah, also fantasy hero, but I think great to see. This was a second-round pick who at one point was the dynasty running back one and had a stretch with the Broncos where he just looked absolutely unstoppable in the same way that he is right now, rushing and through the air. And he's just become a bell cow in this offense. So I'm happy to see it. I do hope he stays healthy and gets a second contract because he's playing for pretty minimal right now.
Yeah, but bad.
It's 1 year, $3 million. But some of his cuts look like, I mean, this is obviously ridiculous comparison, but like some of his cuts in the backfield look like Saquon-esque, where he just steps up, gets the carry, and just sidesteps a guy, and they just whiff, and then he takes off down the sideline. And I think that's what we expected to see 3 years ago before a brutal knee injury, but really exciting. This offense is just electric. So much fun to watch.
Yeah, before his ACL tear there in 2022, he was averaging over 4.3 carry those first two seasons, averaging less than 3.7 after the ACL tear. But this year, he's at 5.3 a carry. Like, it looks like some of those guys, it takes two, like, it's usually 1 year. You know, you want to wait 1 year after the ACL and you see him come back. His was pretty bad. So it makes sense, too, as far as narrative, like, their narrative plays out pretty well for him. Still only 25 years old.
Yeah, and I like rooting for all these guys who are let go from teams. So Sean Payton made it clear that Javonte wasn't his guy and blah, blah, blah. So he goes on and starts dominating. Dallas did the same thing with Rico Dowdle. Now he goes over and gets an opportunity and he looks amazing. So all these guys who are like kind of just cast away for cheap two are getting their due now, which is great to see.
Josh Jacobs runs out our booms for the running back. Two rushing touchdowns, only 55 yards. This was another ugly win for the Packers.
Yeah, not looking as clean as I think we expected them after the first 2 weeks.
Not at all. Ja'Marr Chase, he started off the week on Thursday as the wide receiver one, and he held it all the way going into Monday. 23 targets. Are you kidding me? 16 yep. catches, 161 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, they weren't really trying to stop him. He seemed to be open on a lot of the targets as well, even though we knew exactly where the ball was going that whole game. But he is definitely, you know, with Flacco, he's going to be right back up there.
And I don't know, like, I think it's just a little bit more insulting to the Steelers when he comes out of there, like, comes out in the press afterwards talking about, like, yeah, I didn't know what we were doing half those plays, just throwing slants, you know, like, just, he's out there playing backyard football, and he goes in there and takes down the division leader.
Yeah, and we talked about Tomlin being upset with the Browns GM last week for making that trade right before they come in, and I think we all kind of joked about it, thinking, like, yeah, but you should still win, and here we are. Yeah, I can see why he was upset.
They should have won. They should have won. They are the better team, but no, they didn't get it done. We got a couple of teammates here coming in at wide receiver two, wide receiver three. Devonta Smith, 9 for 183 and a touchdown. AJ Brown, 4 for 121 and two touchdowns. This game was still ugly. Like this, I think this was still a bad showing by the Eagles. Like overall, I know, folks, I'm sure you're tired of me crapping all over the Eagles this year, but this is 28-22 in a game that they got a pick six and going against Carson Wentz with all of the missed opportunities. These two wide receivers had a great game, but outside of that, it is pretty bad showing.
Yeah, it's still, you know, it's promising. It's nice to see the passing game pick up if the running game can't, and not all cylinders flowing at the same time, but it's still definitely not where it was last year. Mm-hmm. So we'll see as the season goes on. Sometimes these teams take half a season to really start to get rolling. It's a little confusing with them because they have a lot of the same pieces, so they should be able to pull this together faster, but I don't know. But if you drafted AJ or Devonte, probably taking them in like the second and third round, so you're definitely happy to get hopefully a win this week with these performances.
Chris Olave, I've been saying the stat over and over. Look, this guy's got no ceiling. He's never scored 20 points in a game. Well, I got to find a new stat, folks. 5 catches, 98 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Finishes with 24.3 half PPR points. Wide receiver 4 in the week.
Yep, and leading the league in targets. So we've talked about him a little bit, like kind of a buy low. The ceiling isn't going to be as high as a lot of other guys, but, you know, his QB is bottom 2 in the league, and he's just going to see the targets no matter what. So if you have him as your wide receiver 3, then you're in pretty good shape. If you're counting on him week to week, probably not as much.
That is a bit of my worry. This team should be in contention to draft a quarterback this coming year, but they also took a pretty high, fully guaranteed second-round quarterback in Tyler Shuck. He needs to be starting at some point. You cannot go into next year without knowing what you have, without knowing if you need to draft a first-round quarterback or like what they need to do. So I just wonder what this looks like, the stability from him with Tyler Shuck behind center.
Rattler is like 1-9, 1-10, something like that as a starter at this point. So you'd think, I don't know when their bye week is, but at some point they have to put in Shuck, because otherwise this is such a wasted pick for a rebuilding team right at the top of the second round. Mm-hmm. A lot of talented players went in that time frame. You know, Quinshon went behind there. We haven't seen what Travion has done yet, but there was a lot of players they could have gone with that have, you know, who are going to see the field. And for a rebuilding team with a lot of holes, drafting a backup quarterback who's like 26 years old as he enters the league is a weird move.
Right. I got to throw this guy out there. Probably the most frustrating thing of all time is when a guy who probably has been dropped or should be dropped goes off the week before his bye week. But Travis Hunter, 8 catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown. The only viable piece we saw really out of this offense, and they're going into a bye. I've dropped him in all of my 10-team leagues, my 12-team league, my home league. I've been holding on to him, and I was going to drop him after this week, going into the bye week. Now I can't. Now I'm frozen. Yeah. Any other wide receivers you want to highlight?
Welcome back, CeeDee Lamb and Rashee Rice. I've definitely talked them up for like 3 straight weeks as go buy these guys before you have an opportunity to. So I'm actually surprised CD didn't get more, but the touchdowns kind of fell once again in favor of Jake Ferguson. But Rashi Rice, a couple short touchdowns. He's heavily involved right away. So congratulations if you held on to them or if you were able to buy them, because they're right back in your wide receiver one conversation.
Ferguson's like historically inefficient as far as no tight end through 7 weeks has less yards with the amount of like targets and receptions he has. It's absolutely an anomaly. He finished with 29 yards, but he got 2 touchdowns. Like, just absolutely stupid.
Tight end position is pretty volatile. I mean, without those 2 touchdowns, you're ending up with 3 points. So you're going to have both weeks.
Going to the tight end position, Oronde Gadsden, the second, 7 catches, 164 yards, and a touchdown. This dude's got yak on yak on yak. A week before, 7 catches, 68 yards. I wasn't sure if it was a product of QJ being gone or if they're truly going to get him involved, but I think it's a bit of the latter there. So I'm excited to play him going forward. I think he can be a tight end 12 rest of season, but you got to remember tight end 7 to 12 isn't that impressive when it comes down to it. So like, I think there's going to be games where he blows up, but I still think there's going to be frustrating. We still struggle to figure out which wide receivers we want to start each week. So I'm not blowing my fab on him, but when you have this kind of athleticism and Greg Roman broke out Mark Andrews to the extent that he did. So hopeful.
Yeah. Gadsden's a guy. He helped me take down some small DK tournaments this week. So I'm very happy about him. And I had to start him in my dynasty league because Kincaid was out. So it couldn't have been better timing, but this is a guy he was drafted in like the 5th round. And they immediately came out and said, we have a plan for him. And he's seemingly already taken over all the kind of veteran tight ends they have in this room. I think this is also a product of them being on their 6th tackle.
Yeah.
Like they're decimated on the offensive line. So we've talked about this for weeks. QJ is not going to get the volume that he was getting because Herbert doesn't have the time to get downfield. And then you just see Ladd, Keenan, and now Gadsden kind of being hyper-targeted in the middle and outside of the fields. But a lot of that short area stuff. So I think more is coming. But yeah, like you said, it's a little difficult to predict.
All right, let's get over to these.
You don't want to talk about Patty?
No, I don't. I don't want to talk about the 4 tight ends in the Thursday night game that scored 5 touchdowns that nobody played.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to talk about them.
Freiermuth, I think, is an underrated tight end, one of the actual true tight ends who can block and receive. And I think he's just used more of a blocker. But it was nice to see him get back into the end zone and have a long touchdown at the end of that game, too. But that's all. You can't start any of those guys.
Yeah, it doesn't move the needle as far as fantasy for me, just unfortunately. All right, let's get to the stinkers. Let's get to the bad ones. Starting off, it's Caleb Williams. Not a terrible game. He did throw a pick in this one. It's only his 3rd pick of the season, so I'm not hating on him too much. And when your running game does as much as they do, that's just kind of how it's going to work out for him. So Caleb Williams, QB 23. Too bad. Who else we got?
We'll go to my other home league quarterback in Justin Fields, who ended up as the QB 26. He was benched partway through the game, benched for Tyrod Taylor. Unsure what this is going to look like next week, so you're going to have to monitor. But yeah, both my QBs were significant busts. Really sad. We'll see how tonight plays out for me.
6 for 12, 45 and 46 passing yards the last 2 weeks for Justin Fields. He's gonna be a great tight end for the Jets next year.
Yeah, Fields, he's just, you don't see starting quarterbacks traded around the league or let go from quarterback rooms as much as he already has, which is why I didn't believe in him coming into the year. Would the Steelers get him for like a 6th round pick, like a year from, it was like a future 6th round pick. And then the Jets signed him and everyone was all pumped up about $20 million a year, but that's the lowest you pay a starting quarterback in the entire league. So this was never a promised thing and kind of not surprising at all, especially with Garrett Wilson out.
Running back stinkers we have. Honestly, it's been pretty bad as far as running back points last few weeks. Like starting with, just looking here, Tony Pollard was RB19. He didn't score 10 points. So that means we had multiple guys finish as RB2s, which looks great when you look at that number, that weren't even scoring 10 points. So like this list could be a lot bigger, but I want to start with Saquon Barkley, of course, because, you know, Mario's not here, so I got to hate on the Eagles a little bit. 44 rushing yards, negative 2 receiving. This is why I mean there's something wrong with the Eagles. Like, I get the passing game went off this week, but, like, Saquon Barkley's RB16 on the season. That's not where you drafted him.
No, but it's not miserable, and there's definitely room to come back. They still have a top 5 offensive line in the league. He's a 3-down back. He's not leaving the field. We've seen him as a receiver. So I'm not giving up, and I'm probably okay kind of buying if somebody is panicking a little bit, but it's still not what you want it to be.
Less than 8 points in 3 of the last 5.
I think only one top 10 performance so far.
Yeah. Week 5 against Denver, RB10, 16 points. Is that all right?
Yep. Maybe the passing game opening up can actually open some stuff for him underneath too, because they're probably just stacking the line here and saying, beat us through the air.
Alvin Kamara gets to be smacked with an RB3 finish on the week, or as an RB3 on the week, but it was only 4.4 points, 28 yards, 1 receiving yard. It's not
great,
Bob.
That's the most confusing part, because now Kendre Miller's out. They're always losing. How is he not getting any receptions? How are they not involving him at all through the air?
The same question I got with Ashton Jeanty. 21 rushing yards, 13 receiving yards. They were getting spanked by the Chiefs. Why did he not have more? Why was he not involved more? He's running
probably
backs, man.
Because they got 3 first downs.
God, that's so bad.
That is very bad.
So bad. Hey, what do we do about Bill? What do we do about Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt here? 3 points. 33 yards. That's it.
Yeah, kind of a dream matchup as well against Dallas, but I don't know. You probably either sold him earlier on the hype, or this week he's going to be tough to buy or tough to sell. So you're probably just holding on to him for the time being. But
yeah, double-digit points just twice this season.
Still 14 touches. I mean, this is, you know, statistically, we've said this all along, statistically he's a 7th-round rookie. And those guys don't hit that often. And he's already outperformed. So, I don't know. I mean, there's not really anybody else on the offense that's healthy right now. So, he's still going to see over 10 touches. He's probably going to be worth flex value. But if you can't do it, surprisingly, he hasn't had too much of a receiving role. And, you know, another one where I'm like, why is he not involved in the receiving game? Because he's definitely got that capability. But... yeah, I don't know.
I don't know, folks.
Good.
Marvin Harrison Jr., come on, dude. The game was set. He came back from the concussion. He had a good quarterback behind center. 2 catches, 58 yards. This game was ugly, though.
Yeah, it was.
Who else we got? DJ Moore, DK Metcalf?
Yeah, Moore hasn't really produced for fantasy all year. Metcalf, more of a letdown. He had 4 straight weeks with a touchdown and coming in wide receiver 37 when they scored 30 points on the week. But I would not be nervous about Metcalf. I'd definitely be nervous about Moore, even though they've got a much better schedule coming up.
At first, I was like, what do you have Xavier on this bust list for? He went 9-for-11, 92 and a touchdown, but we're not talking Xavier Legette. We're talking Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, I should.
What am I talking about?
I'm really sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. When Rashee Rice comes back, he was a focal point of that offense. They took care of business pretty well.
Yeah, Worthy was not needed at all in this game. He's going to have his blow up games. He's going to be like Jameson Williams probably moving forward. But Rashee Rice is going to get a lot of that underneath stuff, and then they're going to try to open it up for him. And a little bit more concerning is Taekwon. I mean, he's definitely not seeing anywhere near the snap share, but he's opening up things downfield as well. So Worthy could see more of a decoy role for him too.
Yeah, I think he's the new young athletic Justin Watson. Taekwon Thornton is. And this one, Drake London. Look, we've seen the splits when Mooney plays. He is not as viable. And looks like Penix is turning a bit into Goff. A little Jekyll and Hyde when it comes to home-away split. It's not looking great when Penix doesn't play in Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Yeah, I don't like it. I have a lot of London. But nice to see Mooney back.
Yeah,
Mooney,
I guess.
Mooney's a show favorite for the last few years.
He was until I realized what he does to Drake London, and I love Drake London a little bit more. So, like, Mooney, go on, buddy. Go find yourself a better situation. tight end, I mean, Mason Taylor, this was our fault. I wanted to go back to the well. I'm probably going to go back one more time if we get Tyrod next week. But, yeah, Mason Taylor has been a huge disappointment since he's turned onto people's radars. And then George Kittle, man. 0 for 2. Big old goose egg. Everyone all over. If Kittle plays, Kittle starts. Nope.
I mean, that is correct. You should not be benching Kittle. He's been top three for the last 5 years. He always dominates, but he has these disappearing acts, and it's because he's also one of the true tight ends that are left who can actually block at an elite level and receive at an elite level. So if Purdy comes back, then I think it's only better days ahead for Kittle. But McCaffrey had over 50% of the touches for this game. So the whole game plan was built around him. And credit to the Niners. They're 5-2 with just a ragtag group of players out there. It is the if you haven't seen the movie The Replacements, it's like kind of a similar situation there. Old Keanu Reeves.
Do you think – does Robert Saleh get another chance? Because what he's doing with his defense without his stars, it's pretty impressive.
Probably.
I think. Then again, why would you leave? Just, you know, some guys are just destined to be coordinators. And if you're in a good situation like that.
Yeah, you live in Northern California. You know, you probably have a pretty, like, great setup for your family and friends already established there. I even read something about Josh McDaniels getting head coaching interest again. And I'm like, I don't think that's going to happen. But I'm like, you got to just settle down in New England, dude, and just be a good offensive coordinator, because it's all worked out for you there. And it's been miserable for you everywhere else that you've gone. So just be happy.
I've seen rumors of Arthur Smith back to Tennessee.
That would be the best case scenario, because Tennessee has just embarrassed themselves over the last few years. They got rid of Vrabel. Really for no reason. He was not the issue there. They only overperformed with everybody there. But then they brought in Brian Callahan, just immediately tried to go all in.
Just a Zach Taylor spawn. Nobody likes those.
And here they are a few years later, still fighting for the first overall pick. And here's Mike Vrabel turning a team in 7 games into 5-2 and, you know, they're going to be middle of the pack at the end of the day. They're not a Super Bowl contender, but compared to what they were in week 18 last year, they are significantly better right now. But I think it's both. I mean, they still have, I think, the most cap space in the league too. So there are going to be splashes over the next few years, and they're going to be making moves and bringing in somebody younger, more elite than Stephon Diggs and Mac Hollins and DeMario Douglas and Kayshon Boutte and Hunter Henry. Like, these are not even like startable guys, most of them in fantasy, and he's doing it each and every week. So
I'm coming around on Booty. I'm coming around on Booty.
Yeah, he's a nice little piece, but he's not a wide receiver one.
No, absolutely. He'd be a nice, an amazing wide receiver three, but I think he'd be a pretty decent wide receiver two if you can get a stud in there. Mm-hmm. Okay, folks, mini bipocalypse. Here we come. Cardinals, Lions, Jags, Raiders, Rams, Seahawks. Get him out of your lineups. They are on a bye this week, so we've got to go through the waiver wire here, and it's rough. It's not pretty, folks. Starting with the running back position, we kind of talked about Kyle Manunga. I think at this point, if you haven't added him, if you didn't put him on your team because of the injury concerns with Swift, I think now is the time. Should be added. Might be flex-worthy going forward, but yeah, add him up.
Yeah, Breshad Smith, definitely a name to monitor. Could be game script, somebody we brought up a little bit in the past, another seventh round rookie, but a very solid receiving skill set and took a lot of touches away from Kareem Hunt this week. Tough to say, again, if that's going to be game script or not, but if they're ever losing, he's probably going to be the guy on the field, and he may just be earning touches because Hunt is wildly inefficient.
Isaiah Davis is a name to watch. I mean, anyway, you should be keeping an eye on this guy just because there has been Breece Hall trade rumors. But if Breece is banged up and can't make it this week, Isaiah Davis would be the plug-in for him. So I'd have pretty good confidence putting him in there if Breece misses.
Yeah, if you need 3 to 4 points, you're going to be stoked. No, I mean, if he's going to get the touches, I have them stashed in a few leagues. So if he's going to get the touches, I'm all for it.
Yeah, day three talent, but like we've seen some flashes. I think he can go in there and give you a decent fill-in role.
Yeah, a few of these other guys we've spoken about for a few weeks, but Tajay Spears getting the ball more and more. He's seen 8 to 10 touches the last few weeks. They're always going to be playing from behind, so he's got a better receiving skill set than Pollard. Gainwell, you want to talk about him? I mean,
I guess.
Same thing. He didn't really do too much this week. Warren was more of the bell cow, but if Caleb Johnson back to zero touches, you know, Arthur Smith just playing games with everyone's hearts. Nobody knows what's going to happen there.
Oh, man. I mean, now we're getting to the ugly portion with, you know, like the
names now.
Yeah, the Spears, the Algiers, the Teutons, the Bam Knight if he hit waiver wire. I don't know how much fill-in you're going to get from these guys, but if you got to flex them, they might give you some decent work. Jerome Ford, I don't know if we're necessarily stashing going into this week, but he has been in talks of trade rumors. And if we don't get a big splash running back trade, it could be somebody like him. Browns are looking to clean house a bit, so I think that some value could come with him. And then Abdul, I thought it was going to be DJ Giddens, the rookie out of K-State, for the backup spot to JT. But Abdul, he looked pretty good, despite, like, 8 years later, after all the hype with him at the Lions. We're not looking to play him here, but it looks like he might be the handcuff for JT.
Yeah, I'd have to think that if JT went down, that Giddens would be getting more rushes, and Abdullah would kind of fall right back into that receiving back. But he's just that plug-and-play dude. You know, he's like the running back. I forget who we were talking about last week, but he's like the running back version of Ryan Fitzpatrick or Jacoby Brissett. Like, he's played for like 9 different teams, and he'll just stick around for a while, and he's competent enough to throw in a few good plays that here and there. So no faith at all. That's a 14-team stash.
Yeah,
at best.
Taj Brooks, I guess, also a rookie out of Texas Tech there for the Bengals. Another one of those depth adds. I really don't know if – I mean, Chase Brown finally got 100 yards, but, you know, names to know, I guess, more than anything.
Yeah, but I would say P. Ryan's actually the one getting the play right now. Taj Brooks isn't seeing too much of the field, but,
no.
Again, injuries happen and – he would be the next guy up if either of them got injured.
Yeah. Let's go to wide receivers here. I mean, Darnell Mooney, eternally on this list. You need to play. He's not bad. And I think they're home this week, so it's even better.
Yeah, great setup.
Bodie. I'm a Bodie fella. I don't mind it. When you got Drake May, he's the best deep ball thrower, and this guy runs deep. The connection's there. You got to put it together.
Yeah, I still think Diggs is going to lead the team in targets at the end of the year, but he's just distributing the ball really well, and Booty's clearly able to have those blow-up games. Not a great schedule the next 2 weeks, but, I mean, if you need a receiver, you need some depth, you certainly could do worse.
Josh Downs was out this past week with a concussion. He should be back. Him, Alec Pierce, I think that they can be waiver wire or kind of add. You can pull off the waiver wire. You need to plug and play this week. I think you can do a lot worse than those guys.
Yeah, Pierce looked pretty good.
Playing Tennessee this week, so yeah, it definitely doesn't scare me. Who else? Who else tickling your fancy?
You got Troy Franklin here. You can throw him and Marvin Mims together. Franklin seems to play a bit more, a little bit higher snap percentage, but you're never going to know which one it's going to be. It's all looking like design touches for both of them. So it's just who's going to score the touchdown. And I think more often than not, it's going to be Cortland Sutton, unless it gets bobbled in the end zone and Franklin happens to be one, you know, a half a foot closer to the ball than the other guy.
Yeah. Look, this Washington, it's rough right now, but you got Jalen Lane, Chris Moore, Robbie Chosen, Luke McCaffrey. I mean, Zach Ertz doesn't seem to be a favorite target of Marcus Mariota. Like, it was significantly worse when Mariota started for Zach Ertz. So I think it's going to be some of these receivers you look at. Chris Moore, the old and busted, 32 years old, but he seems to have the most juice, if you will, out of this group. Jalen Lane, pretty exciting, undrafted rookie, older guy. might be something there. I guess, do you have a preference out of these guys?
Moore is statistically looking the best. Hard to trust McCaffrey at all. He scored a couple touchdowns, but he's on like one target every week at the same time, or, you know, one, two catches. So I think I lean Moore, but man, that again, you're just, it's a crapshoot.
Future Hall of Famer Jackson Dart is playing there in New York, and Darius Slayton should be back for this game. So I think he's going to be an option as well going up against Philly. Philly's going to be looking for some revenge, so they're going to have their number pulled up, but you got to play.
Yeah, I wonder if Dart's listening to this podcast like right before he goes out, so he's like using it to amp up and hearing you and me talk him down the last 2 weeks and be like, oh, they think I can't play against Denver?
I hear this is his favorite podcast. I cannot be confirmed, but rumor is this is his favorite
cannot
podcast.
Cannot deny or confirm.
At this point, like, we haven't seen the Texans play, yes, but we've got the rookie Higgins. We see a bump usually for some of these teams coming off a bye, so maybe we see the second rounder. He's a big player. Maybe something happens with him. Christian Kirk, you know, you need a handful of points. He's going to be there.
Yeah, that's Jaden Higgins, if you're not Jaden familiar Higgins, with the name.
Go. Yeah, not T.
Yep.
I mean, at this point, it's AU Manor. It's Horton. It's Beck. It's ugly, folks. It's pretty ugly.
Yep.
Quarterbacks, who are we talking about?
Joseph Flacco.
Joseph flinging it Flacco.
I mean, you're going to do it. I mean, the situation, you can't really walk into a better receiving core than he's got right now. And if you're going to throw 23 targets to Ja'Marr Chase, then if I'm looking for a quarterback, I kind of don't care who they're playing against. And they're going to be losing, and they're going to be slinging the ball downfield. It's a very high ceiling and a very low floor, but yeah, he might actually know the playbook this week.
And that actually might be a worse thing. Who knows? Zach Taylor's not good. No, just Flacco. He's got one of the easiest schedules remaining as well. So super flex league, I am definitely intrigued with Flacco this week for the Bipocalypse. I could see him plug it in, but super flex, I think this could be a pretty good ad for you. Tyrod Taylor, not the sexiest of plays, but if you really need it, if you're a break glass in case of emergency, he's going to be there. And then Jackson Dart, you know, 43% rostered.
Yeah, probably more 10-team leagues at this point. I don't know. After this week, that number is going to go way up.
Yeah, everybody will be rushing. Any other quarterbacks you have?
Nope. This is a rough week.
J.J. McCarthy? Like, after this showing from Wentz. Oh, yeah, McCarthy.
I don't love it, but
no.
You can do worse. You know, for all the same reasons we bought into him before the season, was going into that Kevin O'Connell system, having the depth at receiver. They got Jordan Addison back right now, which he didn't have early on this season. We'll talk about him in a minute, but yeah, I think McCarthy's on the list. I mean, it's a streaming situation, so you're kind of hoping for the best, and he's probably got as much upside. He's also got decent legs, so he might be able to give you a little bit of a floor.
Nice. Let's go to tight end. We talked about him in the booms. Aronde Gadsden. If you don't have a tight end, I don't mind going to pick him up. I'm not breaking the bank. I'm not blowing my fab. My first waiver priority, I'm not going to go blow that, because again, I think it's got to be tempered expectations. If you add him into the mix, now we've got four pass catchers to try to figure out who Herbert's going to be tossing it to, but he's incredibly athletic, and that's what I want out of my tight ends, especially my streaming tight end, somebody who can take it to the house at any point.
And somebody with Justin Herbert.
That
never hurts.
You talk about that loser, the guy that lost this past week after throwing a couple of picks.
I know, my boy. But I'd take him. You know, I take that situation over our next guy, which is Mason Taylor. And Taylor is a good player, second round pick. The situation is just rough. There's nobody else for a defense to focus on. So he's probably going to see somewhere between 4 and 6 targets. We don't even know who the quarterback is going to be. Again, defense should be able to focus in on him, which is not what you want to be as a rookie tight end.
Yeah, I'd like him a lot more if Garrett Wilson plays in this game.
Yeah.
Theo Johnson, look, I'm not advocating for anybody to play him. It's funky the way that works, but I think the tight ends are like Jackson Dark. I don't know if he likes his tight ends a lot or he just doesn't have a lot of talented wide receivers to throw to, but either way, both of his tight ends look pretty good. Theo Johnson is the one I would want. He broke the athleticism score as far as tight ends go. I think he's one of the few guys that actually scored a perfect 10 on it, and we saw that displayed this week.
Yeah, also cool to see Daniel Bellinger.
Yeah,
I was kind of showed up as a rookie, looked pretty good for a few games, had this weird, crazy eye injury, and then like just kind of disappeared. And he's been playing, but he just never came back to where he was. So it was kind of crazy to see his name even pop back up on the screen, but nice to see a little touchdown from him. Maybe they'll throw that hook and ladder play into their game plan this week.
It worked pretty well.
Yeah,
Bellinger was a guy I was picking up everywhere in Dynasty a couple of years ago, just to like add on to a trade. Oh, who's that guy? Why don't you throw him on the trade?
Who's Bellinger?
Who is that Bellinger?
Throwing that Bellinger, Claire.
Give me him. And yeah, they went out and got Theo Johnson, second round pick, and he's looking pretty good. Noah Fant, Joe Flacco, you know, we're still trying to feel out his tendencies, but if he's going to be in these shootouts, T against Jamar Chase, and then Noah Fant might be the next one up as far as a target.
Yep, touchdown or bust.
But that's what you get from streamers. And this one, I think this one kind of falls more in line with Oronde Gadsden, kind of Colson Loveland. We saw Cole Kmet exit the game in the third quarter. That was my biggest knock on Loveland this year. It's like, all right, he's just one of six pass catchers. You know, how excited can I truly get? But yeah, I think he's going to be one of many pass catchers, but one less in the tight end room. So five. You can do a lot worse. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll give a little bit more to that when we go into this next segment.
Nice. Defensive streamers. Anything you really excited to play this week?
No, honestly, I forgot all about defenses.
Perfect. Cause so do we. We don't play in defensive
teams.
I don't play any defense leagues. Unfortunately, I play most of minor defensive leagues, and most of my losses this year have come from like losing the defense in the
yeah.
The Colts are only 48% rostered. I definitely think they can be a team to own. They're playing Tennessee this week. That screams yes.
For sure.
Falcons play Miami, only 8% rostered. Falcons have been sneaky good. Like they get after the quarterback really pretty well. So
outside of that one week when I played them. I do have one defense league, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. But I dropped them right after that, and they've been great since.
Buffalo, 38% rostered, playing Carolina, and then Tampa Bay plays New Orleans. So all four of those defenses I'm pretty excited to play.
Nicely done. Right. Great preparation.
All right, before we get out of here, we're going to do a little buy, a little sell. Hit you with a few guys that Nick's really honing in on, whether he wants to ship them off the team or see if he can grab them for pennies on the dollar. Give me who do you have starting this list?
Yeah, I've got a few here. We were just talking about Colson Loveland, so I'll kind of tag team these as well. But Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze, not as great the past few weeks, but they've got the Ravens, Bengals, and Jets coming up the next 3 weeks, which are screaming for passing yards and touchdowns and points and everything you want to see out of fantasy. Caleb's been pretty solid this year. He's hit 20 points in several of the games. So this one was a game script thing. They were able to run all over New Orleans. So I'm not afraid to play him again next week. And if somebody is a little nervous, then I would be happy to buy, you know, in one quarterback leagues is a little hard to go buy these guys, but you might have a little window for Rome Odunze.
Yeah, if anything, Caleb just, you know, he might be hit the waiver wire in some of these leagues just after that poor performance. People pivot. Not a lot of people carry multiple quarterbacks, or good majority of my leagues anyway. So, yeah, if he ends up hitting the waiver wire, he's going to be a smash pickup for me.
Yeah, might be tough with the buys this week, but if he does, then for sure. Again, Ravens, Bengals, those next 2 weeks are going to be perfect setups for fantasy points. I got a couple of running backs here. We've got Ashton Jeanty. He's going into the bye week, and people who took him in the first round are definitely going to be discouraged. It has been a wild roller coaster, but if you can afford to go buy someone, if the team that drafted him is towards the bottom and you have a fourth running back who you can package up, who's a starter at this point, you know, even third running back or something like that, and you can go get him, then I'm happily making that move. Breece Hall, I'm still buying into the trade. Like, there's no reason that he shouldn't be traded.
Right.
Except for the Jets being the Jets. Saquon and Henry, like we said, Saquon, it's not miserable. It's nowhere near what you expected and what you drafted him to be. But we know what Saquon is, and it wouldn't be surprising at all to see this team turn it on in the second half. Henry also playing the Bears and Dolphins the next 2 weeks. Those are two run funnel defenses. If Lamar comes back, we can expect to see a lot of points. His window might have closed a little bit with a 120-yard performance right before the bye, but if somebody is looking to capitalize on that, then I'd be happy to make that move as well.
Yeah, Henry is somebody I bought going into the bye, just people kind of freaking out a little bit, thinking they were selling high off of the thing going into the bye week. But he's got a pretty decent, I think it's seventh easiest schedule remaining. You got teams like Chicago, Miami, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. Yeah, not too shabby. I like Henry going forward.
Nice. A couple of receivers, and I guess this isn't both receivers, but we talked about both of these guys last week, and we said T. Higgins and Chase Brown, and really just buying into the Bengals offense coming back a little bit. Everyone's going to talk about Ja'Marr Chase with 23 targets, but T. Higgins had a pretty nice game himself, ended up with a touchdown. Chase Brown didn't see the end zone, but he had 100 yards. This is the best performance from the entire team all season and against, you know, presumably a decent Pittsburgh defense, but those guys are going to be significantly cheaper and could return wide receiver two, running back two value. And we've talked about their schedule, probably the easiest schedule for the rest of the season. And their playoff fantasy schedule is incredible.
Baltimore, Miami, and Arizona in the fantasy playoffs.
Folks. Yeah, you can't even write that to be better. Anyone who drafted like Burrow and Chase going into the year were anticipating that to be a nice setup.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Addison, pretty quiet, even with Wentz in there. We've got between 12.6 and 17.3 in the three games since he returned.
He has outscored Jefferson in six of the last 11 games.
Yeah, getting a lot of targets. They've got the Chargers, Detroit, Baltimore, and Chicago. So Chargers and Detroit are not ideal dream matchups, but they're going to need points regardless of who's at quarterback, and he's seeing a ton of targets and playing pretty well.
Fourth easiest schedule going forward. They play Detroit, Baltimore, Seattle, Washington, Dallas in the playoffs, Giants in the playoffs, and Detroit in the playoffs.
Yeah, and these are those wide receiver twos who are significantly cheaper than the elite stud wide receiver one on the opposite side of them, but you're not going to be able to buy those guys for the most part, where these guys you can kind of, you can nickel and dime your way into in some leagues.
Yeah.
Lastly, Brock Bowers. This is your last chance. You're given a face, but going into the bye week, he's been healthy. The team has been holding him out. He's going to come back. He's going to be, you know, depending on who's at quarterback, but Geno looks terrible. There's no Jacoby Myers. There's no Brock Bowers. They're playing the Chiefs. What is he going to do? Of course he looks terrible, but Bowers is going to be the wide receiver one on the team no matter what.
I don't think I'm buying Bowers at this, like at this point, like this juncture. Like, I've kind of patched most of my tight end areas on a lot of my teams. He does have the, what looks like the hardest schedule remaining as far as the points allowed, points over expectation. He has a bye week in 2 weeks, or bye week this week. I don't know. He plays Philly, Houston in the playoffs, the Giants, Denver in there, the Chargers, Cleveland, Kansas. It's not easy. It's not easy. And Geno is my biggest fear, I think.
Yeah. I'm okay with that as well. I think I wouldn't be doing it. You know, I'm not trading Tyler Warren for him right now. But if I've got Gadsden as my two and I can somehow package that up and get Bowers onto my team as well, that's kind of the move that I'm more looking to make. Or if that team just needs a tight end for this week, it's all situational. You're not going to be able to just go get these guys in a lot of leagues. It's just, these are situations to go look for. Does it make sense for the other team? Do they need a win right now? Or can they hold on to someone going into their bye? Or are they kind of getting desperate? You know, those are the situations that you're looking to capitalize on. So Bowers, his situation has never been good. Regardless, like, his situation wasn't good last year. Didn't matter who he played. He performed like a wide receiver one by the end of the season with, you know, worse quarterback play than Geno, arguably. Yeah. So I'm just buying into the talent there and saying this is probably the last chance you're going to be able to, because once we're past this week, and he's not on a bye anymore, then the person's not going to care to sell him.
Nah, he's old news. Tyler Warren's come to town.
Warren is a beast.
Brock Bowers walked so Warren could run.
Nice.
Before we get out of here, toss me those cells. Who are you looking at getting rid of if you can?
Happily getting rid of Ramondre Stevenson after this big week. They've got the Browns and Falcons on deck. For as much as we are hyping up Drake May, they've had a pretty easy schedule the last 3 weeks. So I try to keep that stuff in mind. Ramondre has had under 30 yards in most of the games this season. So all of a sudden 18 for 88 and a touchdown, and Browns and Falcons, not as nearly as easy matchups. They're not going to be playing from ahead like they have been. So if anybody, you got a Patriots fan in your league, go target them pretty much immediately. Manungai also, as I was saying, just the way the touches were distributed, 13 for 81 and a touchdown looks great. If the players in your league weren't watching the game, or maybe you go attack the Swift owner.
I think that's where you have an opportunity.
That's where you start, is you go say, hey, you need this handcuff. But I do think Swift for at least the next few weeks is going to be significantly out touching Manungai, unless they're, you know, blowing a team out again like this. But yeah, kind of capitalizing on these big games, just more looking at stat line than the situation.
Nice. Travis Hunter going into the bye week. You're going to see if we can try and flip him, huh?
Yeah, 14 targets. BTJ, a couple drops there. Who knows? Maybe Lawrence is like, I don't trust this guy anymore. We just got to get Hunter the ball more. Nice to see, but it feels, if I mean, 14 targets to get 100 yards and a touchdown, it just doesn't feel super sticky for this year. So if somebody came into the season really excited about it, I'm okay kind of using him to try and move up or get a running back three or something like that, because I just feel like you can kind of patch these sort of players together, especially at the wide receiver position, more than a running back. Like if I could trade Hunter for Chase Brown, I would do that just to have the running back depth, knowing that I could probably pick up, you know, some terrible, you can probably pick up Booty or Josh Downs and potentially have the same weeks that you're going to get out of Hunter.
Yeah, I still think we're going to find frustration with him, and coming out of the bye, maybe you can sell the narrative, hey, he's coming in hot, they're gonna change out
going, yeah, they're starting to unleash him.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And then last one, what do you think here?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm down. Let's sell him. Let's get rid of him.
So when I say sell, it's more like, how do you tier up somewhere? And it's not just like go out and sell these guys, but because you want depth, you want good players. But Devontae Smith is a player I love. I would love to see him in a more system, like kind of a better system quarterback, where he's a good route runner. He's someone who needs to see the ball on time. It's the same thing we talked about Marvin Harrison last week. But a lot of this performance came on an 80-yard touchdown. This team distributes the ball pretty consistently. Goddard's been super involved. AJ Brown still got 2 touchdowns. We haven't seen Saquon really be as involved as he should and could be in the future. So I just don't expect the consistency out of Devontae Smith, and I feel like he's become a little bit more of like a Jameson Williams than the high floor that he has had for the past few years, where he'd be like, you'd just get 7 receptions for 75 yards was the minimum, and then once in a while you get a touchdown, where this year it's been like 35 yards or an 80-yard touchdown.
Yeah, it hasn't been pretty. I haven't been pretty upset. I thought we were going to get a huge bounce back from this passing game after what we saw last year. I will add, though, that Philadelphia does have the easiest schedule remaining for wide receivers as far as points over expectation. They get the Giants, Detroit, Dallas, Chicago in the playoffs. They get Raiders, Washington, and Buffalo. But just because the matchup's there doesn't mean they're going to follow. Doesn't mean they're going to throw the ball. You know, Saquon, they need to get him rocking and rolling. They need to lean on him. And they still have a bye week coming up, the Eagles do.
What do you think about AJ then?
I think 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
I'm holding on to AJ Brown. Like the talent is just unreal, and like everything points to them fixing it, getting it figured out. What was it, 2 years ago, right off the Super Bowl? Same thing with the Eagles. Everybody was calling for Sirianni's head around week 8 because it wasn't looking good. They made the adjustments they needed to, and they cleaned it up the second half. So I believe in the talent on both these two, so I'm willing to ride it out. But if somebody wants to get out of this, I don't hate that either.
Yeah. I love Devontae Smith, one of my favorite wide receivers. So this isn't like the player is bad. It's just more you're going to have spike weeks, and the low has been lower than previously. And it makes me a little more uncomfortable.
Got a lot of Devontae Smith bags in Dynasty. So, yes, I definitely believe in the talent. Nice. Anything else you got before we get out of here?
No, sir. I think we've gone over time for like the 7th straight week. So probably time to wrap it up.
Hey, we're in the middle of it, folks. This is the heavy part of the season. So you get the heavy part of the episodes. If you are looking for more information that doesn't cover here in the podcast, go over to the website. It's QBList.com, where you have all the amazing articles, the what we saw, the start sits, the streaming articles, buys, the sells, all those amazing things. You're going to get that from there. If you're looking for more of me, it's at @too_much_Brian on Twitter. I've got my other show, Too Much Fantasy Football. Come check me out over there. Nick, where you at?
Here every week, and then writing for the Fantasy Footballers.
That's right, folks. Helping you out, doing what we can. Like, subscribe. Thanks for listening, and we'll see y'all next time.